All right, good morning. Well, today's sermon is going to be a little bit different. Two reasons. One, it's going to be short, so that's something rather unusual. The other thing is that traditionally, a lot of sermons are what essentially persuasive speeches. They're arguments of sort. So people will lay out a point and then offer you proofs, usually biblical, hopefully, to prove that point. Today's sermon is really not a persuasive argument. Today's sermon is going to be much more of something, a journey that I took this week, and I'm inviting you to come along with me. But I don't have any answers. I only have questions. You may already have the answers, but if not, then I encourage you to sit with these questions with me. The passage that we're going to mainly focus on today was one that we took a look at Bible study this past week, and I want to offer you a little bit of backstory as to what's going on. Jesus, this verse takes place about a week before Jesus is taken to be crucified, before the Passover, and he has come back after raising Lazarus from the dead. He raised Lazarus, and then everybody was very interested in what he had to say, so he went away to be by himself for a bit, and then he came back. And he's attending dinner at Lazarus's house, and Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, are there, and you may recognize Mary and Martha from another story. And so we pick up in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So what struck me in this passage was that I very much agree with Judas. A lot of times in my life, I look to people doing what I would consider wasting resources, and I say, why are you doing these things? This money could be used for so many better things. And so, while we were talking in Bible study, Jeff touched on different reasons for this passage, and I dug a little deeper, and I just wanted to know more. And so, as I was continuing, I found out, and also through Bible study, that this story is repeated three times in the Bible. The other times are from Mark, and then once from Matthew. And so, I'll read from you from Mark 14, 3 through 9. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done this a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." What's really important to note here is the change that comes along in verse 4. It says some of those present were saying indignantly to one another. Where John points out Judas, Mark points out there were a bunch of people who weren't quite thrilled with this whole thing. And then we move on to Matthew, and there in 26:6 through 13 it says, "While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked? This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So in Matthew, we see that it's not just Judas and it's not just a few people, it's the disciples. And it doesn't say a few disciples, it says the disciples. And I think we can get caught up in that idea that we like to blame Judas for things. And it's not all, you know, he shows us what is in a lot of us all the time. And when we can connect with some of what we would consider the villains of the Bible, I think that we can learn a whole lot. I wanted to share a story from preparing the sermon this week as I was struggling with this. I was working on the sermon, and then I put it aside and started talking to my friend Ferdinand, who I work with for Animator Island, which is a website we do together. And Ferdinand and I don't share the same faith, but he is a very spiritual person nonetheless. He looks at the deep questions, which a lot of people, especially online, don't seem to do. So we were having a discussion, and the discussion, if I can recall, was on teamwork and how in the world of animation, a lot of people are really focused on themselves, and they will sometimes hold back in teams so that maybe somebody else doesn't get as much credit. And we were saying how, oh, it's terrible and different things. And we got to talking about how everybody can bring something different to the table. And I was reminded of the verse about the gifts. So I went online and I pulled up what I discovered was Romans 12, chapters 6 through 8, or verses 6 through 8. It says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And so I copy and pasted this and I sent it to Ferdinand and I said, you know, I know it's from the Bible and that's not entirely your thing, but this is what sprung to mind. And he said, yeah, I agree. You know, and he said a lot of good stuff in the Bible. I just don't always agree with the religion aspect of it. And I said, yeah, I hear you. But then I went downstairs and I started talking to Liang and, I said, okay, well, I'm going to do this sermon this week on this verse from John. But she wasn't at Bible study this past week. So I was like, oh, good. I'll be able to just run it by her without her having any experience. And so I said, well, it's this verse in John and it's about Judas. And he brings up that this woman essentially wasted all this perfume and her eyes kind of sparkled. And she said, yeah, I read ahead. And I said, Jeff is going to be mad at you. But, just bless her that she reads ahead. And so, she said, I wondered what you were gonna say when we got to that verse. And I said, well, you know me very well, because that's something that I struggle with. And we had a conversation, and in that conversation, she said something to the effect of, or I presented, you know, if someone is called to do something, then that's what they're called to do. And she said, yeah, if someone is called to buy a yacht, then they should buy a yacht. And my immediate reaction was, that's madness. Why would God have somebody buy a yacht? That's crazy. And then I got to kind of see God do that thing he does where he just stands back and gives me a smile. And he kind of poked at me and said, hey, remember that verse from Romans that you just sent your friend that had nothing to do with this sermon that you were working on? And so in Romans 12, it goes through all of these things, these gifts that we've been given. And I could see in my mind's eye, it amended so that there was a verse 8b that said, if God charges you to buy a yacht, buy a yacht. And the truth is, that is up to God to determine who's called to do what. And so this woman that was rebuked by not just Judas and not just some people, but by all the disciples, that was her time to do what she was supposed to do with what she had. and it's not Judas's decision what she was supposed to do, and it's not the disciples, and it certainly isn't mine. But it's something that I want to remember going forward, so that when I come across those situations where I see a professional athlete, maybe, who makes a whole lot of money, and they buy another mansion, and I'm grumbling and saying, why? Why is this happening? That I can remember that I, too, have a lot of gifts, and a lot of those gifts aren't always given the way that they maybe could be. I wanted to work in a bit of a story regarding food, which I'll try and recall now, though the words aren't entirely coming to me. And that is, if you go out to eat somewhere and you get chicken, you may get to the end of your meal and there's a tiny piece of chicken left on your plate. And you're really stuffed, so you decide you're not going to eat anymore. Some people, not everybody. And you decide it's not worth wrapping that little tiny piece of chicken up. So you say, yes, I'm finished, and they take away your plate and throw away that piece of chicken. But if somebody presented you with 100,000 pounds of chicken, you would probably not treat it the same way. Because when you have 100,000 pounds of it, you suddenly make a sincere effort to make sure that that chicken is used and it doesn't go to waste. I said I wouldn't argue or have a persuasive argument, but I would argue that that tiny piece of chicken, it's still good. And so when we go out into the world, we try and remember that whatever we've been given, it's a blessing. And whether it's a $30,000 vial of perfume that we are called to do something very particular with, or whether it's something very small, I hope that we use it the way that God would want us to use it. Amen. Let's stand for our final hymn, which is number 572. Pass it on. For our benediction today, I want to share a verse and a story, just a brief one. If I can. Last night I had a dream, and it was quite marvelous. I got to go to a different planet, and on this place that I visited, they had no concept of God or love. And it was very interesting because as I went through this dream, which was extremely vivid, it struck me that this place that we live now, where we do have God and we do have love, is just so amazing. When I reached the end of the dream, I was holding in my hands a young child who was dying, and he was terrified, and he was hitting me, and he was crying. And I said to him, don't worry, because you're going someplace that is amazing. You're going someplace where there is love and there is God, and it will astound you. And what I realized was that the place that I was telling him he was going was here. And so when I woke up, I was just overjoyed. And it was just amazing to be just here. And in my awakening moment, I had in my mind this particular verse, so I wanted to read it. And it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but I'll go back into chapter 12 for one line. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong of a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. As we go out today, have love. Just have it with all your heart and give it to the world as you see.